a rock. And we're learning that Senator Elizabeth Warren's presidential campaign raised $21.2 million in the fourth quarter, less than it pulled in the previous quarter, also trailing Bernie Sanders, Pete Buttigieg, and Joe Biden. America's listening to Fox News.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network is brought to you by Montgomery Subaru. The experience you want from a dealer is at Montgomery Subaru. 3000 Eastern Boulevard or on the web at montgomerysubaru.com.
You know, one of the advantages of this job is, of course, you know when the storms are coming. So this morning, we're trying to time it as I'm going to work here, you know.
Yes.
And I know there's going to be a huge downpour coming. So we left, I got the dog in the car 8 minutes before the downpour, and we got the iPad in the car with before the storm, and then we're traveling here, and then it's blinding rain on the interstate. So it's been one of those mornings with we're in and out of the rain. And Eddie, you said that there was you saw some fog, a lot of thick fog around the Titus area.
Yeah, coming up from Titus through Wetumpka, there was just patches of it, man.
I know that Millbrook and Prattville has had their foggy moments as well. So there's a risk of showers and thunderstorms that continues this morning. The radar is still very colorful right now. We had low 70s in the middle of the night. We're in the upper 60s right now. Actually 65 at the moment. So periods of rain will continue later today and tonight, and then taper off late tonight. Colder, low 50. Tomorrow, maybe a leftover shower early. Windy, colder, high in the low 50s, but you'll swear it's colder with the wind. And then down to 31 first thing Sunday morning. But the day Sunday is great. Sunshine, upper 50s. Right now, this morning, did you run into any rain?
Yes, a good bit, actually.
Yes. Yes.
Well, and with my little roadster, the top works, except for a perennial problem with all these things, is the little drip at the seal where like the driver's door meets the window and all that stuff. You get wet leg. It's just a single drip.
It's a small car. One big puddle could swallow that car.
Indeed. So I had plenty of towels already ready to go. Nobody likes a wet backside when you're walking.
This is true. 65 this morning here at 9:04.
A big day today, and we'll get right into it here in mere moments. Mere moments.
I'll
thank you, Rich.
Gentlemen.
Thank you. News of Views begins in mere moments. Jack Campbell is off today. But I have a master of real estate, Mr. Eddie Bader, here in the studio with me to hang out.
Yes, I am. Looking forward to this, Joey.
We will begin in mere moments. News and Views from 9 to noon.
Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. A Montgomery police car was damaged by a stolen vehicle Thursday. The driver reversed when the officer approached the car, hitting the MPD vehicle. Four people ran off after this happened, but were later taken into custody. The officer involved was not injured. Andalusia police arrested two men on attempted murder charges on New Year's Day. Authorities say Michael Berry and Joshua Coleman shot at each other around 4 a.m. Wednesday. This happened on McClendon Avenue. No one was hurt, but authorities say there is property damage. And a federal judge will decide if Alabama Secretary of State John Merrill can block people on his personal Twitter account or if doing so violates their free speech rights. Merrill's attorneys argue the account is personal and not an official account of the state office. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
Alabama Home Mortgage is in the business of saving you money. Hey there, I'm Kim Williams along with Madeline Cannon. Figuring out new ways to stretch your mortgage dollar is what we do at Alabama Home Mortgage.
Here's the deal. Getting started is as simple as dialing 567-4223. In fact, why not try doing that right now?
You'll be amazed at the amount of cash you can save. So please, don't wait any longer. Call 567-4223 right now.
A retired Air Force pilot in Pike Road was experiencing some turbulence with his money. So he called Alabama Home Mortgage to see what we could do to help.
We lowered his monthly payment by $587, reduced his term by 5 whole years, and allowed him to skip 2 mortgage payments. With Alabama Home Mortgage as his co-pilot, he was able to soar to new financial heights.
Take advantage of today's low rates and reduce your monthly burden much sooner than you thought ever possible.
10 minutes is all it takes to find out how much you can save.
Let us show you the Alabama Home Mortgage difference.
Call 567-4223 or visit us at alahomemortgage.com to apply today. NLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
David Little from Tucker Pecan is here. We're getting ready for a brand new year.
Yes, we are, Bubba, and that's what we're looking forward to. We're going to go out to market in January and buy new gifts, new items, new things for Tucker Pecan, and we're going to try to spice it up a little bit, have different items, more items, and even better gifts that you will find at Tucker Pecan at great competitive pricing, as always. And the candies, well, they're always going to be made fresh at Tucker Pecan Company. They're going to be made fresh daily, and we're going to try to come up with some new candies. New ideas, things will make us stand apart from anybody else in the River Region or surrounding areas.
Get ready for some fresh candies from Tucker Pecan.
We're going to start back making the truffles. Those things are the best thing you have ever tried, from the red velvet truffle to the cookie and the cream. All the great items at Tucker Pecan, and we will make them for you fresh.
Tell them where you're located.
We are located at 350 North McDonough Street in downtown Montgomery. You can check us out on the web at tuckerpecan.com or call us at 262-4470 or like us on Facebook.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. You pay just $30 for a month's supply. And right now, get your first online doctor's visit totally free when you go to 4hims.com/joy. That's right, free. Zero copay, no expensive appointments, no awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe your ED medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, 4hims.com/joy. That's 4hims.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers. It's time for news and views from 9 till noon, Montgomery's conversational radio show. To join the conversation, call 272-9228. It's news and views from 9 till noon, only on News Talk 93.1 FM.
I'm a very stable genius.
And a happy new year.
How dare you?
When the priest comes to read me the last rites, take a look to the bowels of the last sights of a world that has gone very wrong for me.
Welcome into News and Views on a Friday morning. It's rainy outside, it's gloomy outside, the news is heavy this morning, so I need a little Iron Maiden in my life. This is News and Views from 9 to noon. I'm Joey Clark, your host. Alongside me this morning, Eddie Bader.
Good to be here, Joey.
And we got some serious news going on.
Yes, we do.
This morning, I saw the news break last night, was on top of it. Yes, President Trump has ordered airstrikes. It appears a drone strike that killed top Iranian commander, General Soleimani. He's been well known for years. Anybody familiar with Iran, how they operate, would understand how important, how, I would say, what an escalation this is.
Big time. That's our number two military guy, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Number two guy in the country, really.
Yeah.
And we'll get into how big this is, describing and reminding you about how Iran operates. There is some unique things to how they operate,
yeah.
And Soleimani was the head of all this. But this is an escalation that is both symbolically important. Just, I mean, when you take out, essentially, imagine if they took out Pompeo,
right,
or a CIA director or a major general for the United States. That's what this guy was, Soleimani was. It is, Biden is calling it a hugely escalatory move. Well, it is. I mean, you can characterize whether or not you think this escalation is warranted, and certainly the Democrats are coming out and against this move. But I went a little bit into the time machine
Oh, okay.
Well, actually, it doesn't require a time machine. You know when they do the news these days, Eddie?
Mm-hmm.
That they save the video and audio.
Yes, yes.
It's almost like things are recorded. So, this is a big deal. But it's almost like everybody was asleep at the wheel. Not the administration. But a lot of America was asleep at the wheel in April of 2019. What am I talking about? That is the day in April 2019 that foreshadowed what happened last night.
Yep.
And by the way, it's not just Soleimani who was killed. Also, the head of all the Shia militias was killed in the same car alongside Soleimani. Also, the United States sent in Marines to arrest members of parliament that are the political side of the Shia militias. Of course, there have been public statements by people in Iraq, for instance, the prime minister of Iraq, saying this is terrible, a violation of sovereignty, you shouldn't have done this, blah, 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 blah. But I think that is just a public statement.
Oh, definitely. I think Trump was making a statement, and several of them, people came out and tried to say, oh, you're going to have your own Benghazi, and I think he was making a statement, much like Reagan did back in the day. You know, my predecessors, you might have pushed around, but you're not going to push around me.
Well, and the accusation that would happen with the American embassy, which is really it's a massive fortress there in the middle of Baghdad. Yeah. It's the biggest compound mission in the world. And so when that everything went down over the last few days, that was bad, but it wasn't Benghazi bad.
No.
Our ambassador's not dead. This was not by any means something that caught everybody off guard. There was a quick response to it. And the threat level with Iran now has been an issue for more than a year. Right. I mean, they shot down an American drone. Right. They were putting sticky mines on tankers, oil tankers, moving through the Strait of Hormuz. I mean, this should not be a surprise. This has been a slow escalation ever since Donald Trump pulled out of the Iran nuclear deal.
But I think part of it is they're used to screaming and hollering like a two-year-old and getting in their way.
Yes.
And lo and behold, there's a new sheriff in town, and he doesn't play that game.
He does not. And what's interesting about the Iranians and just their history in general, especially the Islamic Republic, so-called, that government of Iran, ever since they took over in the late 70s, they've had this weird mentality, and it's useful, I think, for us to get into the mindset of where they're coming from. Militarily speaking, they see themselves as having been very successful, even when, like, if you look at how they fought Iraq in the 80s,
right,
they went too far. They lost a lot of lives and a lot of equipment and were very ineffective, but they found themselves to be effective because the revolution survived. That's the main goal.
Yep.
What you're going to hear a lot about is the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, and in particular, their abroad force is called the Quds Force. The head of the Revolutionary Guard is now dead, General Soleimani.
Yep.
There will be a replacement soon. I believe they've already picked one.
I wonder where he's hiding at now.
He's also, it's like he's running the special forces / terrorist forces of Iran, but then he's also meeting with, like, Vladimir Putin and prime ministers of Iraq, and so he's a top diplomat, as well as being a spy master, as well as being a military mastermind. But here's the thing. Iran can be effective. Hezbollah is quite an effective fighting force, whether you're talking about Khatib Hezbollah in Iraq or Hezbollah right there on the doorstep of Israel in Lebanon and Syria. All that said, though, Iran has this mentality of hubris, of they think they're better than they really are, because they have this martyrdom complex.
Mm-hmm.
What is one of the first things Iran said last night when all this happened? Well, they're outraged, obviously.
Right.
But they praised the martyrdom of General Soleimani. And so this is who we're dealing with, folks. And this is why this is in particular an incredibly escalatory attack. Nobody should cry over this guy dying.
Correct.
But we have to think strategically. I'm not saying the president isn't, or I'm looking at my TV screen now, there's Mike Pompeo. Mm-hmm. I think they are thinking strategically. And this is where I'm talking about in terms of the general press, in terms of us here on talk radio, the cable news networks and newspapers, a lot of us, I think,
missed the ramifications of what happened in April of 2019. In April of 2019, something that the Trump administration admits was unprecedented occurred. Before I say what happened exactly, I have to say Tulsi Gabbard's right. She was on with Fox and Friends this morning. Mm-hmm. By the way, I can't stand Brian Kilmeade. Oh, Lord. I don't know you personal, Brian, but sometimes the way you conduct yourself on air is annoying. But Tulsi Gabbard's right on one measure. This is an act of war. Mm-hmm. When you take out essentially the number two person in a country, that's an act of war. And there was no congressional authorization. Not for war. We haven't had a congressional declaration of war since what? Japan attacked us at Pearl Harbor. But what happened in April of 2019 is that the United States designated the Revolutionary Guard Corps, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, as a terrorist organization. Same way we labeled ISIS a terrorist organization, or the Al-Nusra Front, or Al-Qaeda. We labeled not just the associated forces like Hezbollah and the Quds Force and different militias operating with Iraq. We labeled, the United States government labeled, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps as a terrorist group. Now, this was to give the administration all sorts of tools to say Europeans or other actors in the region, hey, you deal with these folks, there's going to be issues. And by issues, we mean financial penalties, even bigger criminal penalties, especially for United States citizens who cooperate with the IRGC. So after we label them a terrorist organization, the Revolutionary Guard Corps, Pompeo announces it. And again, this is April of 2019, folks, this audio I'm about to play. Listen to Secretary of State Mike Pompeo from several months ago, from essentially 9 months ago. This is what he had to say in part.
Our designation makes clear to the world that the Iranian regime not only supports terrorist group, but engages in terrorism itself. This designation also brings unprecedented pressure on figures who lead the regime's terror campaign. Individuals like Qasem Soleimani. He's the commander of the Quds Force and oversees Iran's forces deployed to advance the Islamic Revolution through terrorism and other forms of violence. He doles out the regime's profits to terrorist groups across the region and around the world. The blood of the 603 American soldiers the Iranian regime is found to have killed in Iraq is on his hands and on the hands of the IRGC more broadly. Inexplicably, the regime has faced no accountability from the international community for those deaths. Far from being an arbitrary attack on Iran, our pressure campaign imposes just and long overdue consequences for the regime's malign activity. We should not also forget the IRGC's central role in the nationwide con artistry and corruption of the regime's leaders, which they perpetrate against the regime's own people.
Reporters then at this State Department press conference in April of 2019 are asking, well, if you're designating, and it's amazing, it's almost chilling to hear how he's talking about Soleimani in those terms then.
As in dead man walking?
Right. And people were asking, reporters were asking, you mean we're going to treat the IRGC like a terrorist group? And Pompeo says, well, I'm not going to get into specific tactics or cases we might bring against people who cooperate with them wittingly or unwittingly. But we're designating them a terror group because that's what they are. They're a terror network. Mm-hmm. And it is. In fact, that's what they are, folks. But they're also a government within a government. They're really the heartbeat of the Iranian government. They control all the important parts of industry in that country. It's essentially a protection racket that runs a country, but what government isn't at its core protection racket? Excuse me, my libertarian coming out at me. But this one in particular is pretty nasty. So though I will not shed a tear, and in fact, part of me was like, Trump means what he says.
Yeah.
Says what he means, and when he said 2 days ago in a tweet, Iran will be held responsible for the deaths of any Americans, that's not a warning, that is a threat. Exactly what the president tweeted.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't lying. It took 2 days. He wasn't exaggerating. Took 2 days. You take out the number two guy in Iran. So what's next? Well, I can think of a lot of ramifications. But before I keep going, Pompeo, in this press conference of April 2019, steps aside after only five to 10 minutes of making a statement, answering a few reporters' questions, and he lets his two chief aides step up, the head of policy under Pompeo for the State Department and a counterterrorism expert. And I believe it's the head of policy who has this to say. This is the last thing they say before they walk off the stage, answering all these reporters' questions. Because this has never been done before, folks. We've designated groups terrorist groups. But never before, until April of 2019, had we labeled a part of a government a terrorist group. And reporters were sort of scrambling. All sorts of people were scrambling, going, what exactly does this mean? Because if they're a terror group, aren't you supposed to kill them?
Mm-hmm.
Limit them? So are we at war with Iran? Are we not at war with Iran? Here's what the aide said at the very end of this press conference. Listen to what he quotes, now dead, General Soleimani saying.
As Qasem Soleimani said in March 2009, the battlefield is mankind's lost paradise. And this is the true nature of Iran's foreign policy. It is not the very nice-seeming tweets of Iran's foreign minister. If you want to know Iran's foreign policy, pay more attention to what Qasem Soleimani has said and continues to say. He was recently given a medal by the Supreme Leader, who wished for his martyrdom. And the Supreme Leader has said things. He's been lionizing people who drink the sweet syrup of martyrdom. This regime is in many ways a death cult. And their foreign policy resembles that, with all of this talk about martyrdom.
Folks, that again is not some talk radio pundit or cable news pundit. That is a guy setting policy at the State Department right alongside Mike Pompeo. So they want martyrdom. They warned. No, not just warned. They threatened. The president did. And Donald Trump delivered. The question is, what's next? Does Iran strike back? Seems pretty certain. Well, Lindsey Graham 2 days ago, the president retweeted this. And Lindsey came out this morning on the news and pretty much said it straight out. Is that if Iran retaliates again, we'll bomb Iran. Right. We'll take out your oil refineries.
We'll just keep doubling down.
Yeah.
But I think that's how Iran will go back after us, in a sense of it won't be a direct attack on American citizens. It'll be on our interests, much like an oil field where they'll...
Maybe.
Because oil prices went up overnight.
Right.
You know, in the United States, oil is critical to us, whether we like to admit it or not. We are very dependent on it.
There are just so many angles to this. To the one you're bringing up, energy, oil prices. Mm-hmm. And I always love to ask a question, and it's a classic one, cui bono, who benefits?
Yeah.
And who benefits from higher oil prices? Actually, the United States does. The everyday consumer doesn't.
Right, the everyday consumer does not.
But it doesn't hurt us as much.
No,
because we now export a lot of it. It creates more incentive for exploration, for high-priced fracking and production.
You're right, but there's a cap to that. Back when mm-hmm. we were paying $4 a gallon,
right.
That, you know, that really, I don't know how many people thought about it, but that really put a hurting on the economy. When Trump did come in and gas prices go down, your everyday common guy, you, me,
yes.
everybody,
helps
got
a
raise.
Absolutely.
Got a raise just by gas prices going down.
Absolutely. That's a factor in this, I believe.
Yeah, I really
absolutely
do.
A factor in
because
this.
Because that's, to me, Iran, the only way, and I don't know if they're thinking this way, but one of the biggest ways they can affect you and me, which will, of course, affect our political takes and pressures we'll put on our leaders, is come after our wallets.
They'll try, but here's the problem for Iran, is number one, with a few sorties, we could take out a lot of their oil refineries.
Yeah.
And... also, since Trump and team have come along, we're energy independent. We're the biggest exporter of energy.
Which I love that.
So that means, hey, y'all want to close down the Strait of Hormuz? That hurts you and your allies, Iran, places like China, more than it hurts the United States. So that's one angle we could talk about this story. You've got the strategic layout. What's the next tactical move by the Iranians? Yeah. I worry that, yes, they might try to hit oil fields, these sorts of things, hit us in the pocketbook, in the wallet, like you said, Eddie. I also, though, my biggest worry, I don't know, it's just the worry I had, is does something happen here? The line is always fight them over there so we don't have to fight them here. I do worry, does any of this ever come home? Because Quds Force, in that press conference in April, Pompeo talks about Germany found Quds Forces within Germany. We found Quds Forces within this country. Yeah. There was a failed attack in Washington, D.C. recently. So I'm not telling anything the U.S. government doesn't already know. But it is a very big deal, big effing deal, to quote Joe Biden, what was done yesterday. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have no love for the Iranian regime. I just hate governments in general. But a theocratic government really is incredibly repressive, that not only spreads their influence abroad through militias and other groups and other terror acts, but also represses their people at home. The same organization, the IRGC, I don't have any love for them whatsoever. However, it's also this question of what are we doing to our own country? I don't want a war with Iran.
I don't think anyone does.
And Pompeo was asked a key question this morning. Was the imminent attack, this assassination of Soleimani was meant to stop, was that imminent attack an imminent attack on the homeland? No, it was a regional threat. Mm-hmm. Now, there are Americans stationed in the region. We should care about those American lives and protect them. But I worry we're sleepwalking into another massive conflagration. Another massive war, for lack of a better word, that won't be, you know, like Iraq, won't be like Desert Storm or, you know, taking out Saddam completely in the early aughts. This will be a whole different type of thing. I think it will be a fight across the board, and I think it'll go slower than people realize. It's not going to be one big dramatic thing. It's going to be slow. But you have to wonder about the Constitution. And did, in April of 2019, the State Department and the United States government labeled the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps a terrorist operation, did the executive branch unilaterally declare war when they gave out that designation? Because if you think Iran is that big of a threat, we should have a conversation as a nation. But to have a press conference on some random day that ends in Y, with, when you go back and listen to it, you could see this coming that we saw last night. What are the ramifications for our Constitution going forward? What are the ramifications for American blood and treasure going forward? These are all worthwhile questions. I think the president did show resolve. I think the president also, it's always a good day when we kill a bad guy. But there are bigger concerns. For instance, wouldn't it be great if Kim Jong-un ended up dead? Yeah. But things happen. Wouldn't it be great when Saddam's taken out? Yes.
That's just it.
But
you know,
things happen. Wouldn't it be great if Gaddafi's gone? Yes. But Libya is such a mess now, we pulled troops out of Libya because it is a crazy, crazy place where great powers and regional powers are vying for their little slice of the pie in that country.
But when you take out a strong man like Saddam or like Gaddafi, you know, these are people that, and I'm not trying to be incredibly ugly, but most of these people over there are very uneducated. You know, they're told what their parents told them, that's the Bible, that's everything. So you get a guy like Saddam in there, well, it takes a crazy to rule the crazies.
Yes.
I'm going to be very honest with you.
It
and
is the land happened, of strongmen, yeah.
Right. What happened, same with Gaddafi. We got rid of the crazy that was running the crazies, and look what happened. All the crazies got crazier.
Yes. And, you know, you got to wonder, if there starts to be more of a pushback, say the Iraqi government and the Sunnis in the Iraqi government start to help out and push back against the Shia-Iranian influence, does that allow an opening for more radical Sunni groups, the likes of ISIS again? This is absolute mess. We will see. Hopefully, the Iranians come to their senses. But back to our conversation earlier. They're full of hubris. As you heard in that clip from Pompeo's advisor, they welcome martyrdom.
Yeah.
They see this. This is a terrible day for Iran to have their top general, number two guy in the country, taken out. But how do they spin it? He's in heaven now.
Yeah.
So they see it as a weird type of success. It does reiterate that this regime should never have nuclear weapons. With that mentality, never, ever. But you have to wonder where this goes next. And we'll stay tuned. But Iran is now vowing revenge. The political fallout we haven't really touched on much. I'm more thinking about the Constitution. What are the long-term ramifications for the war in the region? Regional war. It is it's an absolute mess. We'll see where it goes. But I have to say, I did crack a smile. I'm not much, you know me, Eddie. I'm not a huge rah-rah guy.
No, not at all.
But when I saw the president tweet it last night, but do you know what he tweeted? All he tweeted was a picture of the American flag.
Mm-hmm.
And a part of me went, yeah.
Right.
Because I've read about this guy for years, Soleimani. Nobody should shed a tear for him.
No.
But this is just the beginning of the story, not by any means the end.
Well, just remember, Joey, and I'm a little bit older than you, but back in the 70s, Iran, you know, they took our students. They took our university people. I lived in Turkey at that time, and the Americans weren't the most popular people in the world on that side of the world, to say the least.
Sure.
But you remember the day Ronald Reagan took office? What they did, they let them go because they knew, you know, there was a slapping coming. There was an adjustment coming, a correction.
Yes.
And I think since then, they haven't had any real threat of any kind of coincidence, you know, any kind of anything going negative. We can do what we want because we're just a spoiled brat, you know, and in the end, the U.S. will give us what they want. Not anymore.
Well, and we'll get into the, I agree. I think this sends a strong message, but we'll get into what I think are the political ramifications. The presidential politics of all this, which sadly is always there.
Yes, it is.
But we'll address it coming up. 272-9228, I would love to hear your thoughts on what has happened, what you're feeling about this, because I'm torn. I don't like Soleimani, and don't like is too light of a word. But part of me prefers if instead of fighting these massive wars, you take out a few bad guys. And it's precision strikes. It's sort of a proxy war. Well, it's not much of a proxy war anymore. But those sorts of actions can lead to bigger things. We'll see. That's why I'm torn. I'm also torn because it seems that Congress is absolutely useless when it comes to questions of war and peace. They talk a big game. You better believe this. Okay, I'm about to get pissed off. You know what would happen? Right now, the Democrats are out there saying, oh, this could escalate. This could be so bad, another regional war. And you know what? There's a grain of truth to their critiques. But you better believe these partisan hacks, if Trump had not acted, would be keep going with their stupid, stupid talking points that this was the latest Benghazi.
Yes.
So if the president does nothing, he's weak and can't do anything, and he's incompetent, and then the president takes strong action, now he's going to get us into World War III. Oh, which, by the way, you know what happened 6 days ago?
What's that, brother?
The Iranians held joint war games with Russia and China.
Oh, interesting.
That shouldn't scare anybody. No, not, it was just naval drills.
But you know what's funny about things like that, though? I know, in my mind anyway, Russia and China, they're taking a place like Iran and just using them. Hey, we're going to do these war games. We're going to see what you got. And we're all going to know you're really worthless. It's just using them.
I have to say, though, from a selfish broadcaster standpoint,
yeah,
heck of a news day, brother. It's a Friday morning.
Got some work to do, Joey.
A nasty, rainy Friday morning full of talks of war, violence. 272-9228. 272-9228. You're listening to News and Views from 9 to noon. I'm Joey Clark. He's Eddie Bader. Be right back. I'm only happy when it rains.
The premier place the River Region turns to for news, weather,
weather, traffic, and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
What could Alabama do with $1 billion? Fund education, health care, public safety, improve the quality of life for all. The Porch Creek Indians have a solid plan for gaming to bring Alabama $1 billion. A game changer for our state. Visit winningforalabama.com. Paid for by the Porch Band of Creek Indians.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. You pay just $30 for a month's supply. And right now, get your first online doctor's visit totally free when you go to forhims.com/joy. That's right, free. Zero copay, no expensive appointments, no awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe your ED medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/joy. That's forhims.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
Trustworthy, accurate, immediate. Carrying your voice across the river region. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Welcome back to News and Views from 9 to noon. I'm your host, Joey Clark. Alongside me this Friday morning, Eddie Bader.
Good to be here, Joey.
272-9228 if you want to get in. 272-9228 is the number to call if you want to talk to us. This hour of the program brought to you by Dan Black Studios. Turn those old stacks of videotapes and all those memories that you saw fit to film. Well, preserve them for the future, because they're not just collecting dust. They're deteriorating up there on your shelf or in your cabinet or that Tupperware, you know, monstrosity that you purchased.
Sure, sure.
It's great for storing things, but it's ugly.
It will. It'll deteriorate. You'll be trying to watch those videos 10 years from now, and there's
you
nothing.
You get that, like that, that kind of gets wavy and wonky. Right. And it's like, did I put something in my drink?
Is there a flashback going on right now?
No, it's just a crappy videotape. That's why I need to put it into a digital format. Dan Black Studios, tell you more about them coming up. 279-6036, 279-6036. Give Dan Black Studios a call, and be sure to tell them you're a News and Views listener that Joey and Jack Campbell sent you. So, one thing that fascinated me last night, as I'm seeing this news breaking, again, folks, the United States has killed essentially the number two guy in all of Iran, General Soleimani. He was the head of the Revolutionary Guard as well as the Quds Force. He's kind of like a mix of a spy master slash head of special operations and terror operations, as well as a type of diplomat meeting with heads of state and foreign ministers all over the world. This guy, to quote this guy, Soleimani, says the battlefield is the lost paradise of mankind. That's a hell of a thing to say. We haven't heard a philosophy like that since the Nazis. That war brings out the best in men. No, it doesn't. And I think if you look at the best presidents in our nation's history, they would completely disagree. For instance, Reagan saying war is a waste. That is, sometimes you have to fight it, but it's a waste. It's a tragedy. You shouldn't have to, but sometimes you do. Mm-hmm. And to be facing a threat now that, I don't know, I think we've been done a disservice by our politicians and by our commanding heights media, our mainstream media, whether on the right or the left, in actually discussing what is the status of threats in the Middle East, actually informing the public. Instead, we've been caught up on Russian conspiracies and crap impeachment inquiries and all sorts of things like that, as opposed to looking at the big issues of the day. And by the way, America is not as strong as we were, say, when we went to Iraq. We're in more debt. I think we're stretched more and more thin.
Yeah, I think we're definitely a little thinner.
So we'll see. We'll see where this goes. But what fascinated me when I'm seeing all this news breaking is the divisions on Fox News. I thought those divisions and those differences of opinion on Fox News perfectly express divisions within Trump's Republican Party right now.
Yeah.
Because you have the old school guy. It really hit me. There's one segment on Fox last night. It kind of was terrible for them because a lot of the B team's in there hosting. Sean Hannity's off. Laura Ingraham's off. So Jason Chaffetz was doing the best he could on Sean Hannity's show. But at one segment, there's Karl Rove and Ari Fleischer, former W. Bush acolytes, talking about more war in the Middle East. And I had this flashback of being a young 20-something going, Oh, not again.
Yeah.
But then the news, when it first breaks, who's on air? And he isn't on vacation. Tucker Carlson.
Tucker, baby.
And he had on a great guest from the American Conservative who essentially said if Trump gets into a massive war with Iran, he's cooked. He doesn't win re-election. I think, folks, whether you are all for this or you're not, whether you're for the killing of him but you're worried about the strategic, what plays out from this, whatever your concern, there is a true disagreement within the Republican Party to this day. To this day. You get folks like Tucker. You get more of the populace, like myself. I put myself in the camp of we need to come home and pull back our obligations. But I think my side of the aisle, my side of that argument, hasn't done a good job of saying what exactly do we mean. Because it's one thing to say bring all the troops home. It's a little more complicated than where troops are on a map.
Right.
It has to do with obligations to Saudi Arabia, to Israel, to other Arab partners
in
the region, to pushing back. You know, there's a lot of different angles of this with our European partners and with Russia and China. There's different arguments to be made, and where do we actually put our money and our obligations? But you still have very hawkish elements within the Republican Party, and Trump has sort of straddled both worlds. He's very tough. He means what he says. That's why I think he conducted this attack, but he also doesn't want war. And again, what I worry about is that we almost... The executive branch almost surreptitiously, secretly, though they announced it in public, declared war on Iran. How do you designate a government the most, the heartbeat, because the Revolutionary Guard is really a government within a government. You have like an official military, then you have the Revolutionary Guard forces.
Right.
You have all these commercial entities, but the Revolutionary Guard's behind all this stuff, stealing from a lot of them. So how do you declare a key part of a foreign government a terrorist organization and yet say, no, we haven't declared war on them? And isn't that Congress's job? So I think it will be a discussion amongst people on just the right, amongst populists, America firsters, libertarians, and yes, hawks and the more globalist wing of the party that still exists to actually come to some agreement and actually have these conversations and arguments now before it's too late. Because I feel like we're sleepwalking into something much bigger. And don't kid yourselves, folks. I was talking about yesterday. War with Iran is no cakewalk.
No, it'll not be different by any means. Anything we've seen, anything we've seen in the last 20, 30 years, for sure.
So maybe what the administration is going to try to do is precision strikes. We're not going to go to total war. We're not going to go in there and knock out the regime ourselves. But we're going to hit you when we can and where we can without expending too many resources. That might be where they're going. We'll knock out oil refineries. We'll take you off the battlefield in Iraq. We'll take you off the battlefield in Syria, even in Lebanon. We'll help out Israel. We'll help out the Saudis in Yemen. That might be what they continue to do. Sort of proxy war, and occasionally the big superpower steps in themselves. But then what does Russia do? What does China do? China today, from what I've seen, has called for calm.
Right.
You know, the Chinese are all about making that money, baby.
Well, and that's the thing. We got Trump in there. Of all people, Joey, he's going to be a negotiator. Mm-hmm. I don't think we'll have the troops on the ground all-out war with Iran. I can see us
popping
here, popping there, slowly and continuing to bring them to their financial knees before they say uncle.
Again, but it goes back to that martyrdom complex we kept talking off air. How do you negotiate with that when the more they lose, the more they think they win? But it's like, oh, I see you fell for my classic face to your fist move.
Right.
How about your foot to my groin next? Your foot is going to be a mess. But, like, it just doesn't... Well, like, what are you guys talking about?
They'll say one thing in the public, but you know as well as I, in the back and behind the curtain, you know, they'll be asking for some relief.
But I've just found, on Fox News itself, the fault lines within the Republican Party on this question of war...
That's kind of troublesome.
It's fascinating.
Well, it's kind of troublesome to me, because there's, again... Right now, we have a very united party, I see. Right now, we're a united party behind Trump because of the impeachment.
Yes.
But things like this can come up and rattle the party.
Absolutely.
That's what I worry about.
It rattles me. I truly am torn on this. I do not think we should get more embroiled in the country, but there's a good argument being made by the other side. We shall see. 272-9228. Let's very quickly go to the phones. News and Views, you're on there. Who's this?
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Real quick. You know, the problem is that Obama really emboldened this group of people over the years, giving $150 billion to the regime. We also had Susan Rice, who's actually Iranian, of Iranian descent. And, you know, we gave them the olive leaf and did all this stuff. But meanwhile, they're still killing our soldiers all over the world. They are a terrorist regime. I'm like you too. I'm sick of the Middle East. I don't care if it burns. Not my problem.
Right.
But unfortunately, you know, us being the world police force, I guess it will be. And you know, I just really feel like right now we're actually reaping what we were sowed during 8 years of Obama. But at the same time, the Trump administration has been doing a lot of things under the seat. Thing that I've read about, and the sanctions are crippling that nation. You know, during the Muslim uprising, Obama turned his back on the people there. We had a huge opportunity to turn that regime around because he had Susan Rice and all these other Iranian sycophants in his administration. We didn't do anything about it. And by the way, Obama had the same guy who we zapped over there in Baghdad in the White House, folks. This guy was walking around in the White House. So if you don't think we had some problems with Obama and his kowtow to the mullahs over in Iran, that right there, that picture should tell you a lot.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I actually think that nuclear deal, the major flaw in it wasn't anything to do with nuclear. I mean, the big flaw there is that it was really a pause for 10, 15 years and not a true ban on nuclear weapons. But the regime of being, like, the technology of being able to test, are you enriching beyond a certain limit, is pretty darn good. And that part of the deal I thought was fine. The problem with the deal is that Iran could continue with ballistic missile technology and testing. They could continue with that hundreds of billions of dollars coming in, not just directly from us, but investment by Europeans to advance their interests across the region, including attacking Americans there. It didn't solve much. They became so fixated on this idea of we can just cap their enrichment for 10, 15 years. Maybe it'll give us an open window. I think it was doomed to failure. Because not only were the Iranians not going to play fair, but also it really unnerved the Israelis and the Saudis and other players in the region. I think you're right. We're kind of reaping.
This guy also has met with Kim Jong-un. So, you know, it's a group of dark, terrible people in the world. This guy, hopefully, he's burning and being eaten by pigs. And I don't lose any sleep over it.
Right.
I just don't want to see any more American troops and money being spent in a place where they're going to be fighting each other and killing each other for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, it sounds like you share my dilemma then. Yeah. I hear you, man. I appreciate the call.
It is a dilemma for Republicans and conservatives. Hopefully it'll work out.
Appreciate the call, man.
Yes, sir.
272-9228. And hey, it's not just the seeds that Obama sowed. As soon as we discussed earlier, got rid of Saddam Hussein in Iraq, it made Iran more powerful. So this has been a long-running problem, and this is generally our problem with foreign policy. It's why I say, folks, I know it makes some people mad, we should start thinking of our foreign policy in terms of executing an empire. How do you run an empire?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying we're run by Palpatine, like this Death Star is fully operational. No, I'm saying that we're a commercial empire with all sorts of commercial and diplomatic, ideological interests. Right. We want to see freedom and democracy across the globe. We want to see open lanes of commerce and money. Like, we have these interests. We have allies and others that rely on us. Some of them aren't really that friendly. They're just kind of going along as we're playing nice with them and paying, yes. So there's a lot to this. And if we start thinking, I think, if our politicians and media start talking about these things in a more robust way, we might come to some better conclusions. And I'm talking to the side I find myself more on, like, bring the troops home. Okay, that's a good bumper sticker, but what do we exactly mean by that? Who is going to take up the power vacuums? And we should be clear-eyed about it.
When we do leave out, we leave power vacuums every time we leave.
And then I do buy into this idea of, if we keep pushing this forward, where does it go from there? Like, what tripwires do you set off? Like, this, again, folks, is a big effing deal.
Yes.
Soleimani dead is, I'm part thrilled, because I've read about this guy a lot over the last few years. My whole coming of age, like, since I was a teenager, I remember reading about this guy.
Now, how do you feel the other partners in the region are, their thoughts on him?
Oh, Israel loves it. Saudi Arabia loves
it. There you go.
A lot of the Arab states generally love it. Egypt probably loves it.
I wonder how many of them can it openly admit.
Oh, those will. I wonder about the Iraqi prime minister. How much does he actually love it? Because he's come out and denounced the attack, but who knows? Because he's largely controlled by Iran. Has to be careful. We got to hit another break here.
Let's go.
2729228. Excuse me.
Yeah.
That breakfast coming back up there. 2729228. You're listening to News and Views from 90 Noon. I'm your host, Joey Clark. Eddie Beatty alongside me this hour of the program, folks. Brought to you by Dan Black Studios. Be sure to give them a call today. Anything with video services, whether editing, production, or preserving old videotapes, Dan Black Studios can help you out. 279-6036, 279-6036. More News and Views when we come back.
Carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Truly blessed and extremely grateful. This is Pat Atkins at AKD, Screen Printing, Embroidery, and Advertising Specialties, wishing you and yours a happy new year and a very fruitful 2020. Blessed to serve this community for the past 33 years. Grateful to our many wonderful customers that have allowed AKD to be their provider for screen printed and embroidered apparel as well as specialty advertising products over that time. If you are one of those customers, thank you. If you are not one, AKD would love the opportunity to earn your business. So if you're in need of t-shirts, uniforms, spirit wear, casual corporate wear, or promotional items, give AKD a call today. AKD, blessed and grateful to be able to offer great products and service at competitive prices. Call us at our Montgomery office, 277-8433, or our Prattville office, 361-2133, or check us out online at goakd.com. That's goakd.com.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Trucking, one of the nation's largest truck lines. They need drivers right now. If you want to know what your home time and your paycheck is going to be every week, call Wiley Sanders right now. Family owned and operated. 855-777-9785.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. You'll need the rain gear from time to time today and tonight, with periods of rain continuing in the forecast. I think the rain will end by late tonight. Today's high temperature in the upper 60s, turning colder by late tonight, low 48. Tomorrow, risk of a leftover shower, mainly early in the day. Windy and cold with a high temperature up to about 52. The winds will make it seem colder. We're headed for freezing on Saturday night, and wind chills will fall to the 20s. Nice day Sunday. Sunday's high in the upper 50s. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Looking to save money in 2020? Shift your high-interest credit card balances to a new card from ASE and receive 0% interest for 12 months. Apply online or visit a branch today. ASE Credit Union, your life, your goals, your ASE. USC. Terms and conditions apply. Equal opportunity lender.
U.S. Foods Market Store, formerly Sunday Dinner, has everything you need for a holiday feast. They've changed their name, but U.S. Foods Market Store has the same friendly faces and service they've been known for since 1871. Open to the public, no membership, easy parking, and conveniently located for quick shopping. Visit them Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. at 5455 Atlanta Highway in Montgomery. You'll find everything you need for your family meal or event. U.S. Foods Market Store, formerly Sunday Dinner. We help you make it.
All the headlines the mainstream media won't touch. Your News Talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Welcome back to the closing moments of this hour of News and Views. 272-9228 if you want to get in. 272-9228. Again, this hour of the program brought to you by Dan Black Studios. Call them today. 279-6036. 279-6036. Dan Black Studios has you covered with anything having to do with video services, whether you're looking to preserve old film or tapes, looking to even design a website, have raw footage edited together in a nice package, trading videos, that's completely produced, or television commercials or internet commercials, anything that you need for video services, Dan Black Studios has you covered. Years of experience, professional quality. Check them out today, folks. Dan Black Studios, 279-6036, 279-6036. Thank you to Dan Black Studios for being a sponsor here of News and Views. Let's quickly go to the phones and talk to Red Top. Red Top, welcome to the program.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How you doing, Red Top?
You too, Eddie. It seems, I heard you mentioning earlier about a constitutional crisis, and is the implication you're making is like the president and secretary of state kind of semi-declaring war without an official declaration of Congress. Is that what you were implying?
Yeah, well, here's exactly what I'm implying. I'm saying it. In April of 2019, we designated the crucial arm, the heartbeat of the Iranian government, a terrorist group. How do you label another government's crucial aspect a terrorist group and it not lead to war? That's the question I'm asking. And there were people, when they did that, going, well, what does this mean? At first they're like, oh, it's just more like sanctions, so others won't deal with them. But it looks like now, no, it means we're going to kill the head of your terrorist organization, who happens to be the number two guy in your government, essentially.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's an interesting way to look at it. In other words, like an undeclared war, but these people do exist, and you know, United States tactics have changed a lot. We have more than doubled the number of special forces. I do believe it went from 29 to 49,000 now. And so America's tactics with surgical strikes, drones, and all this kind of stuff is not a declaring war type of military anymore. I think it's more of a targeted surgical thing to avoid declaring war.
Right.
This is an example of it. So I understand what you're saying. It's a very interesting way of prosecuting a faux war.
Right, but, and it is, I can understand why.